morning. Today is Thursday, February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Ange particularly, and Joel, you've got go
now. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Jump.
I know. You know, it's just I've my wonderful wife. Very happy to be with her, and I just wanted to let her know that she's just too good to be true, and that I can't take my eyes off of her. And she's like heaven to touch.
Well, are you reading song lyrics?
Oh yes. If you understood where that comes from in our relationship, you'd understand. So,
but I don't know. That's probably a little too close for right now.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
No, not a problem.
You guys celebrate. Congratulations.
Thank you very kindly, sir.
Joe Buckingham is joining us. He is a deputy DA. He works with Maggie in the second, third, fourth floors of the courthouse.
Indeed.
Boy, and for his Valentine colors today, it's two tones of gray.
Well, you know,
I'm not going to go any higher numbers.
If you were a prosecutor, you'd understand. All you ever see are shades of gray, you know.
Uh-huh.
So,
but I didn't use the magic number, did I?
No, you did not.
Good. Nobody's said. Yeah. Okay. Fine. We'll just kind of move on to our. Why do they say that this morning? Are you ready, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. Crazy as a bedbug. What is there about a bedbug that makes us say as crazy as a bedbug?
Oh, gosh. If I had to just guess, I'd say probably because there is no intelligence in a bedbug. It just goes after whatever blood thing it can. It's like government just sucks out whatever it can.
You know, you may replace Maggie here if you keep that up. Very close. The expression owes its origin to the almost insane antics of a bedbug crawling around on a mattress. Its motions are zigzag. Its directions are uncertain.
You
got about 90% of the way home there.
You know, sometimes it's just a good guess. All you can do.
Shot in the dark, huh? So how long have you been on the North Coast?
I've been in the North Coast since December of 2017. Came up from San Bernardino, where I was a prosecutor for about 12 years. Came up here. We're actually working down in a community called Victorville/Apple Valley. It's a community that's beautiful in its own kind of way, although it's a wind-whipped desert, so it's also kind of the exact opposite of Humboldt County in a different way. Certainly, we have a lot more weather up here.
Trees, too.
Trees, yeah. Absolutely. Reverse although there's water. A lot of Joshua trees down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, those aren't trees. Those are scrub brush.
They are, indeed.
Relatively speaking.
Yes, no, that's absolutely the case.
Boy, when I was playing ball at Humboldt, there was one kid from Victorville. Very rarely do you hear about Victorville, or at least I do, so that's kind of cool. So what drew you here? I mean, being a prosecutor is a little bit different than what you're doing now. The circumstances certainly are a whole lot different than in the culture. Why here?
Why here? Well, I mean, as far as it goes, I was born in Portland. I love the...
water.
Yeah. I mean, being near the coast, if you know anything, you know, in terms of the way it is anywhere else along the coast, along the state of California, this is probably the last place that's reasonably affordable along the coast. I think people sometimes forget how many beautiful and natural resources there are in this community and just quite how beautiful it is. And really, as far as it goes, the rest of the state in a lot of ways is, especially the coastal areas, very expensive, very hard to have anything that's reasonably decent to live in. And quite frankly, the community is just beautiful and it's a wonderful opportunity that came, and so.
So this is like a family move.
Yes.
Right. What have the experiences been like here versus what they were in San Bernardino County? Are there commonalities in the courtroom?
To be candid, the courtrooms are actually quite a bit different. I mean, the judges down in San Bernardino, for the most part, I would say a little bit more. Hard on the defendants. So coming here, it's been something of an adjustment where it seems like a lot of people get a lot of chances, extra chances.
Latitude,
that's probably a good way to put it. So that's been something of an adjustment to understand. But at the same time, you know, every system is relative to its own culture and its own things. And down in San Bernardino and in those places, as odd as it is to say it this way, the prison system isn't necessarily that far away, if that makes sense. So, you know, there's Chino Institute for Men and there's Tehachapi and there's other things that are all really close. And people, for whatever reason, the idea of going to a prison for a lot of even the defendants down there is like, I'll just do my time and I'll come out in 8 months, you know, 16 months.
Really, it doesn't have the big ogre
not nearly as much as it did here. I mean, what you'd find down in San Bernardino is people would be like, just get me out of the county jail, where the county jail was a lot more of a
nastier place
down in San Bernardino. Oh, yeah. In prison, people would be like, hey, there's more freedoms. I could get to do a little bit more, you know. Whereas here, it's like the idea is, I guess, you know, the main prison folks get sent to around here is going to be San Quentin in a lot of ways.
San Quentin or Pelican Bay. Neither of them are seen as recreational.
No, that's actually, and Pelican Bay is also, you know, it's a high prison, so you don't necessarily even go there on your first go around too. You're going to be sent to a much less.
But the specter is out there.
The specter is out there, and so I think especially the community sees it that way. And so a lot of people get these chances at probation. It's kind of like, you know, at some point you're looking at a defendant and you're thinking, when are you going to take the opportunity that's presented to you to actually perform on probation?
That's probably a better, more professional way of saying it versus what I would do. Pull your head out. Get your act together. I mean, you know, things along those lines.
Yeah, but you know, what we do tend to find is that as people do tend to get older, they do tend to grow up to. There's just a natural part of that, which is nice, but doesn't always happen. But
no, maturation comes at many, many chronological stages in somebody's life.
I will say there was a judge who told me many years ago. He said there's a many large difference between 12 years of experience and 1 year of experience 12 times over. And you know, some people do 3 years of probation, you know, and learn something from it. Other people do a first year of probation 30 times over and never really figure any of it out. So.
Yeah, I wonder which ones we have more of around here. Let's reflect.
people are, and this is defendants, everyone, we're all very human, and we respond to the incentives we have. And if our system incentivizes kind of multiple chances, people take advantage of it.
It's 8:19.
You love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. Welcome back, Valentine's Day. I'm not going to sing on air. I don't care what your mom says, Winston. I'm just not going to do it. We're back talking shop this morning with Joel Buckingham, Deputy DA for Humboldt County. You said, Joel, that the courts and the criminal justice system in Humboldt County is different than where it was in San Bernardino County. How much of that is driven by the capacity in the jail and having to not be able to incarcerate certain types of criminal activity?
You know, actually, that's probably the one thing that's one of the biggest differences between here and San Bernardino, but not necessarily in the way that you would expect. San Bernardino had far more jail overcrowding than I think Humboldt does, which is not necessarily what I expected, because you're looking at a jail here that has something like 400 beds, and it is very full on most days, but in San Bernardino, for the most part, most misdemeanants, if your bail wasn't around $50,000 on a felony, they cut you out. Here, we have a lot of misdemeanants that are actually arraigned in custody, stay in custody for a couple days, and then have that type of thing go forward. So at least someone who commits a misdemeanor, there's a principle that says that when the sentence against an evil deed is not quickly carried out, the people's hearts are given to do evil. And the simple fact of the matter is, in San Bernardino, a lot of these misdemeanants, you know, they'd do something, they wouldn't receive any real punishment because they'd be taken down to the jail and they'd be come back in 6 months or 4 months and totally forget about it. Here, there's actually a little bit less crowding than there was in San Bernardino, which has been kind of nice, because you do see that some of those things are actually punished with jail time.
Yeah, you kind of feel like something's getting done here.
Something's getting done, which is strange, because most people, I think, can look around and think it's not. And it is frustrating, I think, that'll one of the biggest experiences that my family has had in coming here is dealing with the transient population, which I think is very hard psychologically on a lot of folks. It's like, what do we do?
More
with
visible,
that?
More here than it was
in
San Bernardino.
Absolutely, much, much more so. And I think that can be psychologically a little depressing to the community to feel like, you know, there's this intractable problem we can't fix. And in a lot of ways, you can't because it's
you're
a
not
problem.
Buying into that, are you?
In terms of
acceptable levels.
You know, for me personally, people have to choose what they want for their lives. And that includes the transient population just as much as anyone else. And a lot of those people, you know, are very content not having the responsibilities that go along with having a roof over your head. And we don't often think of it as a responsibility, but, you know, when you have to get up and you have to pay your bills every other week and you got to pay PG&E and all those things, there's a lot of responsibilities that come along with it. And a lot of people really just like that very free as a bird lifestyle. So
what are your buddies when they come here? I mean, you've been here for a year and a half. Somebody must have shown up and said hi.
Well, you know, it's funny.
What impressions do they have?
I mean, I think they see some of the same things. They think it's an incredibly beautiful area. It was funny. There was I was walking along 3rd Street not too long ago, and somebody from the Victorville Courthouse, a defense attorney, had actually come up and was visiting and was like, Mark, and he recognized me. And he's like, what are you doing here? And he didn't know I had come up this direction. And, you know, he had flown up. And they love this area. I mean, a lot of people, when they come up to this area, they love this area. They love the redwoods. They love the natural beauty. One of the deputy district attorneys down there, he loves this area. He loves Trinidad. He said if he could retire anywhere in the world, he would retire to Trinidad. Thinks it's just the most gorgeous area in the whole world, but a lot of people do struggle with, but it's so hard to go down downtown Eureka, or even like you think of going to the co-op and all those places, it's less comfortable for, maybe a lot of the husbands don't mind, but some of their wives.
Maybe that's the way to say it, less comfortable.
Yeah.
That would probably be a good working phrase for start using that one.
Gosh, hopefully Maggie doesn't mind everything I've said out on the radio so far.
Oh, don't worry, you'll know. When it comes to the systems that are here, the criminal justice systems, what do you see? Is it a smooth functioning? We will periodically have turnover of police chiefs and city managers and DAs and folks in the legal systems. And either it's working really smooth or, boy, we got a chance now to be able to take care of blank. And those of us outside, we really don't know, and I hope probably never will know personally, how smooth something is or how rough something is. Depending on who you talk to, there's a grind that's going on or it's really efficient. You got a fresh set of eyes still. Smooth?
I don't think anyone ever thinks any part of the criminal justice system is ever smooth. There was a public defender I knew down in San Bernardino who I really liked, who said that my job is to throw sand in the gears of the system of justice. And, you know, there's a lot of good people in the system, and a lot of actually the public defenders down there in San Bernardino and even up here are very decent, hardworking people, just as the district attorneys are. And everyone tries to get along to the best they can and work out resolutions that we can. But it's not necessarily a smooth system. It wasn't meant to be. It's an adversarial system. It's meant to be kind of one side's trying to make everything run on time and the other system's trying to throw sand in the gears. And
so clunky is kind of optimal.
Clunky is absolutely optimal. I mean, sometimes I think as a society we forget that our founding fathers had this very strong distrust of government because they themselves come from a governmental system where they were like, we need folks that are going to throw sand in the gears of the king's system. And I happen to appreciate our system that we have because I think it very much protects our natural liberties, which is very important to me and I think as a society as a whole.
So clunky is good.
Clunky to a degree is good. I mean, I know.
So you got less comfortable and clunky in the same segment. How's that? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeadifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Joel Buckingham, Deputy District Attorney for Humboldt County. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and REDEC. So, how are your critiques so far?
I have no critiques.
You're not getting lit up, huh?
No. Well, who knows? You know.
Okay, so the reviews aren't in yet.
The reviews are not in yet.
Celebrity status isn't quite there.
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely not. I was always told as a young man that I had a face made for radio and a voice made for accounting. So
yeah. I have to save that one for Macaulay. So what do you see 5 years out? Yeah, I know your feet are still kind of getting dried out a little bit. Okay, fine. But you and your peer group see different parts of our community that most of us never see and most of us never want to see. What do you sense?
What do I sense?
Yeah, you had the experiences down south. You've had a little bit up here. What do you see? What directions are going on? What trends get you excited? Which ones have got you kind of moderately concerned?
You know, I was thinking, if I get asked a question like this, what am I going to say? Can I say something humorous? Can I say something funny?
You do the Nixon thing. Why? I like lime lollipops. Why do you ask?
Yeah, that might be the safest bet. No, it was funny. I was thinking to myself the other day, I was paying attention a little bit to a lot of the different things that are happening in Washington with the Green New Deal and a lot of, I think, the direction that the folks want to go. And I'm listening to Cory Booker talking about, you know, moving away from red meat. And I think that especially this area could be really neat because I keep thinking and waiting for, as cannabis becomes legal and red meat becomes illegal, you know, to be able to move potentially into that market. Because when red meat becomes illegal, that'll be a fascinating place to be. And Humboldt will see an industry that will really replace the cannabis industry.
I think you're talking to a lot of potential Canadians if that happens.
No, but, you know, 5 years out, our community is what we make it. That's a simple fact, the matter of everything in life. You know, your house is what you make it. Your home is what you make it. Your family is what you make it. Everything is what you make it. And this community has really huge potential. And it's got really... I went to the Zucchini last year, and I think it was June, July, and just the amount of people were giving to, whether it was a popcorn truck or other things, it's a community that's interested in helping itself and helping out others and really creating a wonderful communities here, and that's something you don't find every place.
Well, that's probably one of the benefits of being as separated, I won't say isolated, but separated physically as we are from anywhere. We're on our own. Yeah, the state may come in and say, thou shalt. Okay, fine. Or the feds. Okay. But by and large, you know, if we're so far away from anybody that we have to rely on ourselves and our own ingenuity in figuring some of that kind of stuff out. I would think that for some of the folks you worked with or went through law school with, that would be daunting and intimidating.
Oh, I think, you know, a lot of folks, we work in a society nowadays where people are very specialized. So, you know, the idea that, you know, your attorney might also know how to change his own spark plugs or to work on something. I mean,
Or use a hammer safely.
I hate to admit it, but there's a lot of things that my dad would get out of his car. He was an electrical engineer, and he would, you know, time the ignition on his old vehicles. And I'm like, I would have no idea how to time an ignition on a vehicle. I can change my oil. I can change my spark plugs. But, you know, actually getting out there and... you know, adjusting the timing belt, that's beyond me. I have no clue. And yet, when I look at what folks beyond me were able to do and the things that they had to do out here in Humboldt and other things, you know, if you're going to work on a tractor and you're going to do that and your tractor breaks down, it's not efficient as a small business person to have to call out a mechanic every time your equipment needs work. One thing, and I did come on, you know, as we go into especially tax season too, you know, a lot of small business folks up here, this community depends upon small business. And as, you know, small business owners are thinking of the tax season and everything else coming up, you know, taking the opportunity especially to use this time to go through their books and other things, because one of the things that does concern me, I do have my CPA license as well, is, you know, when embezzlement happens.
That was the accounting reference. Okay.
That was the accounting reference.
I just saw you were taking a shot at the accountants.
And No.
I was going to compliment you on your creativity.
No. My undergraduate.
But now if you are an accountant, then creativity goes out the window too. So, okay.
That's exactly. No, I apologize. Maybe I should have mentioned that earlier. But no, the simple fact of the matter was, is taking this opportunity to maybe review your books and those type of things, because when embezzlement hits, you know, our office will do what we can to prosecute those things and put those things back in order. But losing $80,000 and getting an $800 a month restitution payment just doesn't pay the bills.
No.
So, you know, as you're looking at that, and especially as tax season ends, it's never a bad idea to take an opportunity to look over your books and make sure everything's in order.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. I suppose that works for the personal also, just you never know. Something about that fraud thing keeps rearing its ugly head. We'll be back.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. Happy Valentine's, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
I guess this is the last chance for me to save my cookies, huh?
That is probably a good thing to take.
But I don't eat cookies anymore, so I don't.
Well, then at least save your muffin.
Yeah. Buns. I gotcha. Happy Valentine's Day, Ange. Oh, we're Joel Buckingham is with us this morning. The accounting background has got to be really cool and really beneficial for you in the courtroom. And I would think not the number calculation part of the program, but the thought processes that you've been trained to. There's a logical, sequential. You're not pillar to post on things. Everything just kind of goes from step one to step 48.
You know, sometimes that's probably a good way to put it. You know, a lot of the folks that have undergraduates and become attorneys have a lot of liberal arts perspective and those type of things. So what I...
Yeah, poli-sci majors.
Yeah, poli-sci majors. That's exactly right. So what I found is it does give me kind of a different perspective than a lot of the other attorneys have. And not that I think, I mean, a liberal arts degree is a wonderful thing, and I think a lot of people learn a lot from it, but it does give me a different perspective. I sometimes see things much more linearly. Gosh. Can't enunciate well on the radio.
Fancy
right now.
Word. Step by step.
Step by step, yeah. Good translation, yeah. I think.
Yeah, dumb you down to four letters words.
Absolutely. That's why I never made it on Jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That night I never knew the answer or the question
the
either.
Question.
When you're in the courtroom and you, everybody has frustrations, how do you process it? How do you process your frustration so it's not the big dramatic thing like you see in cinema, or you just don't get so frustrated that you can't see straight? So when it's your turn, you're not focused. You're still kind of worrying about what was said before.
Well, I mean, the simple truth of the matter is when you know, back in the old days, many, many, many years ago, before TV, before even radio, right? What people did for entertainment was they went down to the courthouse. I mean, that was what people did.
Because hangings. Don't forget that.
That too, as well. And people did that because these were stories that people were being told that are interesting, that involve real human lives and other things we read about and we enjoy reading in literature. And there's a simple part of this job, which is quote what I like to call the show. I mean, you get up there, you present a story, you're presenting your case. And as far as it goes, you know, just like Shakespeare's bed, everybody else is just a player in the part, and you have your witness, and sometimes they don't necessarily know where you're going. You got to know. For the most part, the law is pretty logical. I know that's hard to believe, but
No, it's the interpretation that gets squirrely.
Yeah, it is true. The interpretation can get squirrely, but the evidence code works actually pretty well. And so you have to know, okay, if this person forgot what they said, I can use this to refresh their recollection. If they have no memory at all, then I can use this to get it in this direction. And there's about 25 different ways ultimately to work your way through it. And sometimes you just got to figure out, okay, maybe I'll take a step back and ask this question a little bit differently and a little bit differently. And sometimes the only real path forward is a little bit of persistence with maybe asking it a little bit differently. But if it's something you need, you got to figure out a way to get it out. If it's something you don't, you got to just say that I can let be.
Now, I've only been on two juries. Both were murder twos. So I don't know what that says. But there was a frustration that we had in, okay, you got the answer. We understand. Move on. Asking it three and four and five times. And I think you kind of just gave a little bit of an insight that there may be a key word that you're looking for that would be admitted into the record.
Right.
Then you can revisit down the road.
Yeah. One of the things that sometimes is missed between, you know, what the jury hears and sees is a lot of things that are happening that the jury perceives in real time. Right. There's this thing and they see it and they're like, okay, this witness did this look. Well, that's not going to come through on the transcript. That's not going to, when it goes up on appeal, the appellate attorneys and the appellate justices are not necessarily going to see that. So maybe I need something particularly out in the record. One particular case I had down in San Bernardino was kind of fascinating because the witness, I asked this witness a question and there's nothing on the transcript that's going to say it at all. And she's looking down and she's looking up and she's looking down and she's turning her head. And it was a domestic violence case. And I just straight out asked her, I said, are you making a decision as to whether or not to tell the truth or lie right now? And she looks at me and is stunned. Yeah, the face drops and she goes, yes. You know, but that whole looking back and forth, up and down, the jury saw all that. But it wasn't until I asked that question that it got put in the record. And then there you go. Now anybody looking in the appeal court goes, we see what happened there.
Any chance to have trials videotaped?
You know.
So if there is review, you've got the transcripts. But if you need further, you've got video it.
Talk to the folks in Sacramento. I would say that's probably unlikely.
I'm not on real good terms with those guys. Thanks for coming by, Joel.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.